Some of you, I think, were given not only a title, but were given a text. I was given a title, but to my knowledge, I wasn't given a text. So I pray under the leadership of the Lord that I found a text. I'd ask you to turn with me this afternoon to Ephesians chapter number 2. As you turn there, I'll express to Brother Doug and to the church. My appreciation for the invitation to speak, for putting us up over at the hotel, and for the fine food. That food was so good, I put a little bit right there on my tie so I could have it after a while. I didn't mean to, but that's where it ended up. But anyway, bring you greetings from Memorial Heights Baptist Church in the great state of Georgia.
Amen. Amen.
Things got so bad, I started watching Georgia football, so you know I followed the grace. All right. Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's begin reading with verse number 11. Wherefore remember, listen, Gentiles, am I talking to any Gentiles this afternoon?
I am.
Wherefore remember that ye, or in this case we, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, and that's not a kind title that they give us, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Isn't that a sad state of affairs, a sad place to be indeed? But bless the Lord, the writer is inspired to continue. But now, in verse number 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And he's speaking of the enmity that existed between Jew and Gentile. But that is not all that he is speaking of. He's also speaking of the enmity that existed between us and God.
Right.
And that the work that our Lord Jesus Christ did. He goes and he says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him, that is through Christ, we both, Jew or Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I've been asked this afternoon to speak to you on the subject of the Trinity and our prayers. In August of 1961, the East German government began construction of a partition which served to separate East and West Berlin. The Berlin Wall became part of what was known as the Iron Curtain, which separated the communist Eastern Bloc of Europe from the Western civilization during the Cold War. This wall that was built separated families. It severed communication. It served as a barrier to freedom and prosperity to countless thousands. From its construction in 1961 until the fall of communism in 1989, thousands tried to escape and dozens were killed in a failed attempt at freedom. Since then, the majority of the Great Wall of Berlin has been removed. Many of you will remember Ronald Reagan standing and saying, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." There are a few areas where this wall remains, and it is a sad and a dreary reminder of a bygone era. Pieces of the Berlin Wall have been sent to museums and collectors. But since the fall of the of that great wall of this partition, freedom has spread. And my dear friends, for those that were trapped behind the wall, those who were on the other side, it was a joyous day when that wall was torn down. It was a wonderful and new life, a great blessing to them that they now could cross over to the other side. And my dear friends, while I find some encouragement in that, we find the Apostle Paul writing here in Ephesians chapter 2, and he tells us of a greater wall that existed. He tells us of a far greater barrier that separated fellowship and severed families. We find that he tells us of a barrier that existed between a holy God and between a natural man. He speaks of this great barrier, this great partition. This is what you were. He says that ye were, verse 12, ye were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We were behind this great wall of partition. Amen. It separated us from our God. And I tell you what, that wall that separated us ran further than the great wall of China. Amen. It extended all the way up into the heavens and it obscured any vision of any heavenly entrance. And my dear friends, that wall that separates us from God is not a wall of brick and mortar. It is not a wall made of concrete and steel, but it is a wall of enmity. It is a wall of depravity. It is a wall of sin. And we have, by our own wicked hands, built that wall between us and God. We built it in the garden when we and our father and our fatherhead Adam, when we failed, when we sinned. And now, dear friends, if God were to leave us to ourselves, we'd die behind that wall. Yeah. Right. Severed from God, without hope, without God, and without any hope that things would ever be better. But now, in Christ Jesus, oh my dear friends, the wall's been torn down. Now we have access unto God by the Son. Lest we faint in despair, God has given us awareness that this wall is not impregnable or was not invincible. The sinless Son of God broke down this middle wall of partition. And now we who are the circumcision, I don't have time to develop it, but it's such a beautiful study. It wasn't until the time of Herod's temple that the Gentiles were even allowed near the temple proper. They had the court of the Gentiles, but even at that, the Gentiles were not allowed into the court, into the inner court of the Jews. There was a wall that existed, and any Gentile that would enter in at his own death. They would put him to death. But now in Jesus Christ, that wall has been torn down. You're neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither Greek nor Scythian. We are all one. And my dear friends, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we now, and this is where I have my emphasis in verse 18, for through Him, and that is through Christ, we both, Jew, Gentile, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And well, that's not only telling us about salvation, but it's also talking about the avenue of prayer. All right. Amen. The Trinity. And I'm going to try to be as plain as I can and help you with this as I wrestle with this message. I tried to think of a way that I could present it that it would be a help to us. The Blessed Trinity plays an integral part in our prayer life. It takes not only the work of the Son, but the love of the Father and the drawing of the Spirit that we can speak to our Creator.
That's right.
It is only by the work that Christ did at Calvary that tore down that wall of partition. It is the divine design of God and plan of God that He loved us with an everlasting love, and that His Son would come and that the Spirit would draw us so now that we can pray to our triune God. And I'll say this, if you're here and you're without Christ, if you're not saved, You cannot speak unto God.
Right. Right.
Amen.
John 9:31 tells us that God heareth not sinners. It is not that the omnipotent God and omnipresent God and all the omnis, it's not that the great God of the universe is handicapped in any way. But God does not honor the prayers of the unsaved.
That's right.
When He says He doesn't hear them, it means He doesn't honor them because they're not prayed through the Son nor by the Spirit. And so in like manner, those of us who are saved, we learn from the Psalm, the 66th Psalm, that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. It's not that He cannot hear us, but that He will not honor our prayers. Because sin has separated us in that fellowship.
Right.
I want to emphasize to you, we pray as we see. Verse 18, we pray through the Son, by the Spirit, to the Father.
Right, right.
And that is how our prayer should be.
Yes.
As I preach and study on prayer, and we sang this song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I know you can go different ways, and there's some that would say that that song emphasizes just a time period of prayer, rather than saying a 60-minute hour of prayer, because most of us wouldn't know anything about a 60-minute hour of prayer. I know. I love it when I'm preaching and it gets real quiet. Very, very few, I think, would say I know anything about an hour of prayer.
Right.
Christ, our precious Lord and Master, would pray all night.
Yeah.
And we struggle to keep 10 or 15 minutes of good. Now, I mean good prayer. When I say good prayer, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Paying attention to what I'm saying, praying.
Yeah.
Is that plain enough?
No. Forget it.
We gain access to our Master, our Creator, the Sovereign, through the redemptive work of Christ, by the enabling of the Spirit.
That's right.
For those who are not saved, their prayers never cross above the ceiling. God will not honor them. The Godhead plays an important and integral role in our prayer. Note with me, we pray to the Father. I don't mean to belittle. I don't. And I don't mean to run down other faiths or other people's beliefs, but we pray to the Father. We do not pray to saints and statues.
Amen.
We do not pray to the saint, the patron saint of, and fill in the blank. We do not pray to any mere mortal at all. We pray to the Father in heaven. We don't pray to statues. We do not need the aid of having man-made statues and idols to bow down before and pray before. God is a Spirit, and when we pray to Him as a Spirit. We pray to the Father. We pray not. And I'm not trying to be mean. We do not pray. In primary, we really don't pray to Jesus. We pray through Jesus.
Right.
Now, I'm going to say this. Some of you may think I'm off the deep end. Just listen to me, man. Sometimes this life will so knock you to your knees that you'll fall down and the only thing you'll be able to muster out is old Jesus. And if you've not been there, live a little while, you'll get there.
Amen.
Pastor a little while, I promise you, you'll get there. You get to a place where you don't even know what to say. Don't even know how to begin to call unto God, and you're so overwhelmed with a burden or with a need that all you can do is fall on your face and say, "Sweet Jesus, I need help." But even in that, we're praying to the Father. And so I say our prayers should be spoken to the Father. To the Father. We pray to the Father. When the disciples came to Jesus in Luke 11, isn't that beautiful? When he had been praying and he got done, I think they said, "Man, he knows how to pray." But he got done praying in Luke 11, and they came to him and said, "Lord, Lord, teach us to pray.
Right.
After this manner, therefore, say ye, our Father, which art in heaven.
Yes.
So we pray to the Father. We are addressing God the Father in our prayers. And I want you to know something, dear friends. We can have a divine assurance of being heard.
Right.
That's such a blessing. We have the divine assurance. 1 John, I'm going to read it. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence.
Right.
You ought to have some confidence in this. If you're saved and you're a believer, you should have confidence in this, that God will hear your prayers.
Amen.
Now, as I mentioned, but if there's sin that has separated that fellowship, we need to forsake it and confess it and repent and then go on. But you can have this confidence. Now, you can't have that confidence in every other God.
Right.
But you can have this confidence in the triune God. That if we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us.
Amen.
That old statue that people bow down and pray to, they don't hear. The patron saints that men and women will go tomorrow morning and bow down and pray to, they will not hear. But God the Father will hear us.
Yes.
And if we know that He hears us, I don't have time to preach on prayer asking Pastor that whatsoever we ask, you know what you can pray in faith? This is not some name it and claim it verse. You can pray in faith as a child of God and say, Lord, I'm putting my life in your hands and I know you'll do what's right.
Amen.
And you pray that in faith.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes God says no. And that's not always easy to hear. But He loves you. And just because He said no doesn't mean He didn't hear you.
Right.
We have divine assurance of being heard. You know, I doubt that come Monday morning, I could go down here, what's the capital of Georgia? I don't even know. Obviously, you do even. What's the capital of Georgia? Atlanta's the capital? I doubt I could. I wouldn't want to go to Atlanta, so I'd find something else anyway. I doubt I could go down and gain an audience with the governor of Atlanta Monday morning, don't you? I doubt I could go down Monday morning and say, I want to speak to the governor, and they look and say, who are you? Probably they wouldn't let me in down there in 1600 Pennsylvania either. And more than likely, I couldn't even go down here to the mayor of Brunswick and demand an audience with him. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can do better than all of that.
Yeah.
I can have this confidence, a divine assurance that I can go to the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, and He'll hear me. I can skip right over the Prince of Wales, the President of the United States, and go to the Sovereign of the universe.
Amen.
And call upon Him. And I wish, and now, this is where some of the practicality really should lay a hold of us. I wish that and you make it applicable in your heart. I wish that I had a far greater appreciation of what it meant to be able to access the throne of God in prayer.
Right.
Far too previously do we enter down the avenue of prayer. It's amazing how God even uses our knuckle-headed sins for His glory. It's amazing the God that we serve. It sickens me. I'm not here. You're not priest, and I'm not here to make you confess it, but I'm going to tell you something. It sickens me sometimes when I bow my head to pray, where 5 minutes later I find my mind. I lay in bed. You pray for you, pastor. I was laying in bed that night praying for this family whose life's falling apart. Praying and asking God to work in their lives. And the next thing you know, my mind's off on some filth and garbage. It is a privilege to pray to the Father.
Amen.
I mean, that is an honor. Not all men have this great privilege that we have.
Amen.
And we need to really stop and consider when we bow our heads where our prayers are going. You wouldn't stand in front of the president and babble like a buffoon. Why would you do that before the throne of God in prayer? Find myself sometimes with saying, Lord, this evening I come to you in prayer, and not 30 seconds later I'm gone. And my mind's gone. And I think God is more concerned about our disposition than our position.
Amen.
But I'm going to say something. It wouldn't do us any harm to try to do something physically that would help us mentally stay focused on prayer.
True.
And you ask some of these old fellows up here, you better do it while you're young and able, because one of these days you get to where you can't get on your knees anymore.
Amen.
Wouldn't hurt anybody. Get on your knees and pray. I tell you, I think you can find out if you'll do something physically, it'll help you mentally and spiritually pray. I have the right to expect to be heard. I have the right to expect that my prayers are going to be answered. I believe God answers prayer.
Amen.
I mean, I really do. Now, God don't always do what you want to do, but I believe God answers prayer.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Be that nagging neighbor. Just keep rattling on the door of heaven until God says no. When God says no, you can quit asking. But till then, just keep knocking. Be that nagging neighbor. Be that wearisome widow. Just keep on going and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need help. Keep on. Unless God says no, keep asking. And I believe God will answer prayer.
Yeah.
Amen. I wish we would stop sometimes and really think about the weakness. The weakness of our prayers. I'm not going to make anybody mad. I won't come back and preach here. But the good thing is, I got a place to preach every Sunday, so I'm pretty happy. Christ did not take lightly the vain repetition of the Pharisees.
Amen.
And I don't think we ought to take it lightly in our own prayer life.
Amen.
If I had a dime for every time God had been called upon to lead, guide, and direct, I'd never have to carry another piece of mail the rest of my life. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm serious. And I'm afraid it's a lot of vain repetition. I'm afraid we bow our heads a lot of times before we eat. It's just vain repetition.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something, our prayers are precious to God. So much so that He bottles them up. Revelation 5, you look at that on your time. We pray to the Father by the Spirit.
Right.
We need some Spirit-led, Spirit-filled prayers. I believe that effectual, fervent prayers are Spirit-led prayers.
Right.
They're prayers that are not just in the flesh. It's not just me making noise because I like the sound of my own voice. My former pastor taught me people that pray a lot in private don't need to pray a lot in public. You know as well as I do, that some people you call on to pray, you better get comfortable. You're going to be there a while. And there's others that you hear them pray, and they pray the same prayer they've been praying for 25 years. And I wonder how much praying they really do. And I think the answer to that is not much. We need some Spirit-enabled, Spirit-led, Spirit-filled prayers. Those prayers that really reach out and grab a hold of God. It's not just me and my flesh saying this or saying that, but it is the Spirit of God speaking to me, and I'm speaking to my Father, being burdened by that Spirit that dwells within me. I'm going to ask you to look over here to Romans chapter 8, and I find in this a great encouragement, and I tell you, we need it.
Yeah.
Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26 says, likewise the Spirit, capital S, likewise the Holy Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So not only do you have a divine assurance from the Father, you've got a divine assistance by the Spirit. I find it very interesting that the Apostle Paul says the Spirit helps or helping our infirmities, plural. Any of you have any infirmities, plural, in prayer? I do. Not praying as I should. Look what he says. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit. Amen. But the Spirit itself, and I believe we can rightly say the Spirit Himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, and that's God the Father. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. You have divine assistance. Amen. You know, it's so good to know. It's so very good to know that my weak and puny prayers, these guys sitting up here preaching about the holy God and the omnipotent God and the omnipresent God and have elevated him in such a way, I feel like this tiny little speck of nothing. He pulled out that, we're talking about the bag of sand all weekend. He pulled out that bag of sand, and I got to thinking on that one little grain of sand on this stuff, there's 7 billion little insects crawling around on planet Earth, 7 billion of us. That God would be mindful of such a weak prayer or something like that is amazing. And that the Spirit helps our infirmities. A lady called me a few weeks ago. Johnny Pruitt, I told him this. He led the ordination council when they ordained me. I'd like to shoot him dead. The things you get into. I sent you home a few weeks ago, and a church member called me. She said they put my mother on life support. She's on a ventilator. She can't breathe on her own. They've done a brain scan, and there's no brain activity. I don't know what the correct terminology is, but they were going to take her off the equipment and just let nature take its course. She said, do I have a scriptural warrant to do that? And boy, the fellas, let me tell you something. You better be prayed up when it comes to that. You're talking about not knowing how to pray as you are. Not knowing what to say. How about a lady calls me? This has been a little bit ago. A lady called me and said, so why don't you come over and help? She said, my brother just got home from Afghanistan. He's taking a knife. He's taking a knife and digging holes in his leg. I want you to come over and talk to him. I don't know how to pray, y'all. I don't know how to get a hold of God. I don't even know what to say. You know what to say to that. But I can call on my God and say, Lord, and the Spirit will help me. Amen. Woo! I guess something made me so that little weak, puny nothing that I am, and don't even know how to direct or ask or what to say, but to just cry out, say, oh, Jesus, help. The Spirit will take that and turn it into something and present it before the throne of God and use it for His glory. Amen. Now that's something. That is how the Trinity works in our prayer. The Spirit helps our infirmities in prayer. We don't know how to pray as well. I don't know how to pray as well. Sickness and disease that affect each one and others, I don't know how to pray as I ought. So we cry out unto God, and the Spirit assists us in our prayers. Because ye are sons, this is sweet, sweet music. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out among us. That Spirit that dwells right in here speaks to that new man that He gave birth to, cries out, and we say, Abba, Father, I'm one of the family now. I'm not standing outside the camp. I'm not cast out like the old uncircumcised Philistine, but by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm part of Israel now. I'm in that family. That wall has been torn down. We find the divine assistance. And then, lastly, and then, oh my goodness, lastly, it's right. We pray through the Son. Through the Son. We pray in Jesus' name. And when we pray in Jesus' name, that's not just calling the name of Jesus. That's not just reaching out and saying the name in Jesus' name. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are praying that whatever it is that we have asked of God would honor our Christ. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are praying the way He would pray, and that is not our will that thine be done. That is what it is to pray in Jesus' name. And in Jesus, through the Son, we can have boldness. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Divine assurance of the Father, divine assistance by the Spirit, divine access by the Son. We have boldness and access. We were without Christ. Now we're in Christ. We were aliens, strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, but now we've been brought in. Having therefore, listen to this, unfettered access to the Father by the Spirit through the Son. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know, boldness is not arrogance.
Right.
But it is confidence.
Yeah.
That if I go by the altar of sacrifice, I can enter into the Holy of Holies now. Mm-hmm. An uncircumcised Gentile, I can enter into the Holy of Holies. Because the veil's been rent, that is to say, His flesh.
Amen.
By a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil. How is it that the Trinity works? In our prayer life, we pray to the Son, by the Spirit. Or we pray through, I'm sorry, we pray to the Father, by the Spirit, through the Son. And I love this thought. I close with this thought. The great wall of enmity that existed. You can't climb it. You can't go under it. You can't go around it. You're not going to go over it. You don't have to. Because the Lord Christ, through His cross, demolished that wall.
Right. Right.
His cross served as a battering ram to demolish and destroy that wall of enmity that existed between us and God. And now we have access to our Creator.
Right.
By Him. God bless you to have some confidence in prayer life.
Amen.
And Lord Jesus. Thank you, brother.
Yeah.